down again as Loeb. Milledyke centered it.
Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column.
Yeah, baby, yeah, baby, yeah, baby.
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, let's get things going this hour. It is Monday, September 9th, and we are underway this hour on Flames Talk. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo Smart Lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson from Post Media on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. First of all, hello, Wes. Happy Monday.
Same to you.
No, it's been a heavy Monday. This, of course, the day of John and Matt Gaudreau's funeral just outside of Philadelphia. So doing this hour with a heavy heart, no doubt about it. Our first hour dedicated to that. And our first hour definitely was more of a reflective hour. This hour, dive in on some on-ice conversations. And wanted to start with one of the players that I think a lot of Flames fans are super interested in for this fall going into training camp, preseason and the start of the regular season, and that is Matt Coronato entering year two of pro hockey, also entering, which I think is interesting, the final year of his entry-level contract because he played that one game and signed that deal two seasons ago.
Right.
He burnt off year one of the ELC. Last year, of course, played his entire season in the NHL and AHL, and now year two of his pro career, but year three of his entry-level deal. We're going to hear from him shortly, but fair to suggest, Wes, he's one of the more interesting names that a lot of Flames fans are talking about, or even for you, one of the more interesting names going into training camp.
Yeah, I would say so, and I'm going to put his name in with one more, because every time I scribble down line combinations or what I think this lineup might look like, I have trouble finding a spot for both Matt Coronato and Jacob Pelche. And that makes them really fascinating guys for me in the same respect going into this camp. I shouldn't say I can't find a spot for both, but I can't find a top nine spot for both. Yep. That's for sure. There's potentially a spot there on the fourth line for the latter of, or for whoever loses a quote-unquote competition, whoever doesn't play as well in camp. And it's not that I think they're head-to-head, but yes, to answer your question as I start to spit and sputter, yes, he is one of the more fascinating players for me entering camp. And,
me too.
And I kind of see him with Jacob Pelche in that same light.
I do too. I think in both cases, I really do believe that if one or both of those names come out and knock it out of the park in training camp and prove that they belong in the top 12 and prove that they belong in a top nine role or whatever, I truly do believe the Flames will make it happen. I just don't know 100% how they're going to do that. I don't know 100% how they would formulate things elsewhere or adjust things elsewhere, but there's injuries, there's other things that play into it, there's waivers, there's trades. I mean, things always open up, it feels like, when players earn that spot. You know, the thing that's interesting to me is that I can see Jacob Pelche earning a spot on a fourth line, right? Like if a fourth line is Kevin Rooney, Jacob Pelche, and Ryan Lomberg, it's like, okay, let's dance. That makes sense. And I don't think that you are misusing or underusing Jacob Pelche if he's playing in that role. I keep going back to Andrew Mangiapane, and Andrew Mangiapane was an extremely effective two-way fourth-line player to start his NHL career. Remember that line with Derek Ryan and Garnet Hathaway? They would play 13 minutes a night because they were a really good fourth line. And Mangiapane's skill set allowed him to play fourth line, and then when room opened up, you could elevate him up the depth chart. And so I see Pelche very similarly in terms of his skill set. I don't think you're holding him back. I don't think that you're messing with his development or anything like that if he's playing fourth line minutes. But Matt Coronado, I think it's a different story. His skill set and the way that he impacts a hockey game is his shot, his offense, his ability to find open space, and what he can do in terms of creating offense. That is the way Matt Coronado is going to impact the NHL most. And so I'm really curious to see how much better situated he is at this year's training camp, how much more comfortable and confident he is, knowing all of what happened last year, where he made the team out of camp on merit, where he scored his first NHL goal 2 games into his career, or I guess in his case 3 games, but 2 games into the season. And it kind of tailed off from there to the point that early November he got sent to the Wranglers, spent most of the rest of the season there until his recall in March, where he spent the remainder of the season with them. Let me play you this. We were out at Woodridge Ford. Go ahead first.
Can I just throw some math at you? Because as you were talking,
I saw you writing something down.
Scribbling it, and so I don't want to present these as my line combinations, but I was just trying to scribble down who was in the mix, and so I just wrote down 3 lines, and here's what I wrote. Huberdeau, Zeri, Mantha, Pospisil, Kadri, Kuzmenko, Coleman, Backlund, Sharon, Govich. That's a top 9 that's loaded with guys who are proven commodities in the league, and it doesn't include either Coronado or Pelche. And I don't say that as a way to argue that those guys shouldn't be in the top 9. In fact, I'd like to argue the other direction.
Yeah.
But it shows you what they're up against going into camp, because you're right. Matt Coronado should have an opportunity with the way he finished last season to play in a top 9 role for this team. And yet, you know, where does it go? And we know Anthony Mantha is probably one and done in Calgary. And I don't think either of us expect a ton of traction on long-term contract talks with Andrei Kuzmenko, but I'm just talking in October and November. Like, I look at this and I wonder, where do these two kids fit?
Yep. And it's a fair question where they fit, and yet I think they can fit. And speaking specifically about Coronado,
yeah,
I think he can fit.
And so don't tease me anymore. I still haven't heard this clip you keep referring to.
So this is so on Saturday, GVP, Garrett Vanderplug, Shan Vergie, and I were all out at Woodridge Ford.
I can't get invited to anything.
And for good reason. We were celebrating the 10th anniversary of the Calgary Flames Sports Bank. We were hanging out with Kid Sport, and the Flames and Wranglers brought down both Matt Coronado and William Stromgren. They both sat down with us to have a chat, and Matt talked about his first year, what he learned, and how much better he's feeling going into year two. Here's just a little bit of our chat with Matt Coronado from Saturday.
I did a lot of learning last year, a lot of things that I hope I can take and learn from moving forward. So I think every year you play and every game you play, you learn things and you continue to get adjusted to pro hockey. And I hope that I could take some of those experiences from last year and maybe improve in certain situations this year.
You know, you talk about last season and the learning that you did. How, when you look back at the final, say, month and a half when you rejoined the Flames and were with them for the rest of the year, how big a deal is it that you kind of were able to finish the year with the team and finish the year playing some really good hockey? Like, what does that do for the overall confidence, knowing that you did take some big steps as the year went along?
Yeah, I think it's great. I'm grateful I got that experience at the end of the year. I think definitely started to feel good about my game towards the end there, and it was good kind of going into summer to have that. And all I'm looking to do is build off the way I was playing in camp and just continue to grow as the season starts.
It's funny, I remember throughout last year, you know, you were asked at different times about, you know, goal scoring or your comfort level. But now that you've had a little bit of time to reflect, you know, you make the team out of training camp and you spend that first month or so with the group, and then you finish the year for about a month and a half with the team. If you were to compare that first stretch and the last stretch of being in the NHL, what were the big differences in the way you felt you played?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things. I don't. It's tough to kind of just pick one. Mm-hmm. I feel like important thing for me is going out and trying to make plays and trying to have a bigger impact on the game. And I think as the year went on, I wanted to and kind of, I'm not going to say take risk, but look to make more plays and have more of an impact on the game. And I think that's something I need to continue to do to be an impactful player.
So that was Matt Coronato, just a little bit of his chat with us from over the weekend at Woodridge Ford. I really do think he made a lot of progress last year, Wes. I really do think that, look, it was not easy on him. I know that he was upset. I guess upset if you apply the right connotation to it. Like, he was upset that he got sent to the American League, but wasn't like feeling hard done by or anything like that. Just upset that that's the way it went. And he went down there with the right attitude. We spoke to, and will continue to do so, but all last year, we spoke with head coach Trent Cull on Mondays, and he talked about how much he went down there with the right attitude and how much he went down there, you know, really wanting to use the experience as much as he'd rather be in the NHL, use that experience to make him better. And I think he did. I think he grew leaps and bounds in that stretch between early November and early March when he wasn't playing full-time NHL hockey. The confidence came back in a big way because he was an extremely productive AHL player. As an AHL rookie, he was one of the highest scoring players in the league. He was a point-per-game guy down there. They worked with him on his all-around game, and I think you saw that in terms of how much more comfortable Ryan Huska was using him down the stretch when he came back in March. I just think, look, sometimes you have rookie years like Connor Bedard or Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon, and these guys just come in and they light up the league and they're, or even Sean Monahan, or like guys come in and they have really, really strong rookie years that keep them in the NHL the entire time. And sometimes it doesn't come as easily. Sometimes there are a few more growing pains or a few more stumbles or whatever the case may be. And it's how you use those things to round out your game and make you a better player and make you better situated for the next opportunity at the highest level you get. And I really think Coronato is a great example of how you can use kind of that maybe not linear trajectory and use it to your advantage.
Yeah, and I think one of the things in my conversations with Matt Coronato that has really impressed me and really struck me is that there's a real good awareness of what he needs to do better as well. This wasn't, oh, well, I'm getting sent to the minors and, you know, I didn't get enough power play time and I didn't get good enough line mates and yada, yada, you know. This is really a guy who embraced needing to get better at some of the smaller details, especially in his own zone. But you'll hear, like, starting, I'm sure, in that interview and moving forward, expect to hear a lot about Matt Coronato's work with Flames skating coach Danielle Fujita this offseason. And I really appreciate the awareness there from Matt Coronato to understand that, hey, my skating probably isn't at the level it needs to be for me to get the scoring chances that I have got at other levels. It's not maybe at the level it needs to be for me to take advantage of my other gifts at the NHL level. And, you know, I see him very much in a similar light as Connor Zary, a guy who had to get his pace cranked just enough so that the rest of his talents would show on the NHL stage. And I think Connor Zary, at least from my eye, was starting a little further back. I don't think Matt Coronato's skating needs to bridge quite as much of a gap as Connor's did at that point in his career. But I love the awareness to say, hey, you know, this is what I need to get better at, and this is how I'm going to give myself the best chance to be an impact guy for this team.
Yep, well said. So ideally, where is he slotted this season? You just went through your potential top nine, but let's say Coronato has a banger of a camp, and he is, he's like, hey, this guy's going to help us. This guy's going to propel us. This guy's going to make us better. We need him in our top nine.
Well, and I'll just go through really quick again, because these are not the top nine that I would be pushing for, but these are nine sort of proven commodities that you have on your depth chart. And that's Huberdeau, Zeri, Mantha, Pospisil, Kadri, Kuzmenko, Coleman, Backlund, Sharangovich. I would like to see a minimum of one of two of Matt Coronato and Jacob Pelche playing in that top nine. Ideally, I'd like to see both of them, but if Pelche has to cut his teeth beside Lomberg and Kevin Rooney on the fourth line for a few weeks, I don't have an issue with that. But, you know, I if I'm Craig Conroy, and I've praised his patience over and over, and I'll continue to do so, but I'm looking to eventually get a couple of those names crossed off the depth chart so I can give those kids some more run.
Right.
It's really up to Matt Coronato and Jacob Pelche in camp to show that they need to be in those spots.
So you got Mantha with Huberdeau and Zeri, hey?
Really just sort of filling out the names so I wouldn't forget anybody. I do think we're going to see some experimenting there.
Big time. I think we're going to see some experimenting with Huberdeau and Mantha. I think we're going to see some experimenting with Zeri and Pospisil down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to see some experimenting with Pospisil on the fourth line, maybe is the fourth line center there.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a lot of different things.
For sure. And so I can't repeat enough. Those are not Wes Gilbertson's suggested lines for opening night. That was just me trying not to forget anybody. I put Zeri at center because I am trying to be a good teammate. You know that I think it should be Pospisil. As you just alluded to, it's very possible that it's two of those three
It's very Pospisil.
That two of three of Sharangovich, Pospisil, and Zeri wind up at center, and Kevin Rooney becomes more of the 13th man. You know, there's a lot in flux. I guess what we do know is that there's not going to be a spot gift wrapped for Coronato, especially being waiver exempt. He is going to have to come in and have the sort of training camp he had a year ago, and then he's going to need to carry it forward.
To me, as I think about it, the spot where I'm like, yes, that makes the most sense, give me Huberdeau, Zeri, Coronato as a line. That to me, is like, okay, you know, if you have Kadri and Backlund as your other two centers in your top nine, and maybe it is Pospisil playing on that number four center role or in that number four center role, mm-hmm. which I don't think, again, is something that is going to take away from Martin's development as a player.
No, it's not enough ice time for me, but I see where you're coming from.
Unless it's a really good fourth line that you can roll out there 13 minutes a game or something like that.
Potentially. Yeah.
But that line of, or a line consisting of Huberdeau, Zeri with Coronato, that to me, and again, Matt would have to, Connor Zeri would have to prove that he can play center full time, and you have to be pretty sure that through training camp that is where he is best suited. And for Matt, he'd have to go out and have the type of camp where he earns that. But you give that line, you know, 65-70% offensive starts, you give them third line opposition as much as you can.
Mm-hmm.
Let the Backlund Coleman line and the Kadri line take on the tougher opposition and have more of the defensive starts. Well, now all of a sudden things are cooking, right? And now all of a sudden you're like, oh, Huberdeau, Coronato, and Zeri in the offensive zone. They've got a lot. And again, you never know. Chemistry is something that you can't really telegraph on paper. But
sure.
That to me is the area where I'm like, yeah, that's a really good spot. That's a really good spot for him if he earns it.
Without a doubt, you have Twitter followers who are going to love that suggestion of Matt Coronato getting that sort of top line run. And hey, I'd love to see it. I think you're going to see a ton of experimenting. I certainly think it's more likely to start the season you're going to see Mantha or Sharangovich in that spot. But I here's what I love about your suggestion. Even if I don't know that that's where I see him going, the kid's a scorer. You got to give him a chance to play in a top nine role. And, you know, that can even be with Coleman and Backlund, which is a spot that I've sort of, I've suggested, for lack of a better term, because I can't think of a better term right now, that Jacob Pelche would be a nice fit in that spot. Again, you've got too many veteran bodies, but like, let the kids play in the sort of roles that you project them to fill long term. And for Matt Coronato, that should be a top six scoring type role.
Yep.
For Jacob Pelche, that should be a shutdown line type role. I just wonder, sort of right out of the gate, and you and I are very much saying the same thing. I just wonder right out of the gate how it looks.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's... Look, I mean, Craig Conroy talked enough about signing Mantha and how they think maybe there could be a connection with Huberdeau. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're going to force it if it's not working, but I definitely think they're going to give that some runway, no questions asked in training camp or even into the regular season, for sure.
I know, even to complicate things, and this probably goes to your comment about having a fourth line that could see the ice a little more often, I know that one of the conversations with Ryan Lomberg in free agency was a little more opportunity than just a straight fourth line role. And so you've got a lot of... You know, you've got a lot of cookies in the jar for top nine spots, but that's a good thing.
And one of the things to also remember is that I do think there will be subtractions throughout the year to this forward group, whether it is a Mantha, whether it's a Kuzmenko. I think. But yeah, I think there's a good chance that both end up being moved between now and the trade deadline. And then injuries inevitably happen. I remember vividly 10 years ago, Josh Juris having this unbelievable training camp, but didn't make the team out of camp because there wasn't room. And it was like 3 weeks. He went down, played. I think it was Stockton at the time. Might have been Adirondack. I don't know. But he went down and played in the American League 3 weeks, and then he got recalled. And I know exactly what you're about to say. I see the twinkle in your eye.
Well, I talked to him the other day, and the game he made his NHL debut was the game that Johnny Gaudreau was famously healthy scratched for the only time, at least the only performance-based time in his NHL career.
Yeah.
And not to be coy about it, obviously the other one I'm referring to was after the Super Bowl party. But yeah, Josh Juris came up, so I believe that was game six or so of the season. Got in for Johnny Gaudreau, and you know, a few weeks later, the two of them were living together, having both shown they should be full-timers in Calgary.
One more thing from Matt Coronato that he said on Saturday. And we tweeted this out. We made a little graphic from it on Saturday. Got a lot of traction on social media. But I asked him, Matt's been in town for a few weeks now, and he's been skating with players at these captain skates they've been doing. And just asked him, I'm like, Matt, what's the buzz like? Training camp's around the corner. Like, you talk to your teammates that you're going to be at training camp with. What's the overall buzz like?
Everyone that's here already is super excited. There's a lot more guys here early this year than there were last year. I think guys are super excited to get back at it. Can't wait for all the guys to be back and kind of hear what everyone's saying. But so far, it's just been great vibes. And I think guys are kind of just itching to get camp started.
And that is something that you really want to hear. We don't know how competitive this group is going to be. I do know that the expectations are going to be low. I do know that every preseason magazine, every preseason radio or television show, podcast, the Flames are going to be a bottom seven, bottom five team. They're going to be near the bottom of the Pacific Division projections. I know that's going to be the case. And so I know the external expectations are going to be low. But I don't know if they're going to be like the 14-15 team. I don't know if they're going to be one of the worst teams in the NHL. You just don't know until you start playing the games. But you do like to hear that from Matt Coronato, that there's more guys that are here already. The buzz is good. And you want it to be like you want it to be a good place to be at training camp. You want training camp to be a happy time. You want it to be like you want that buzz and you want that culture to start to grow. And so that was good to hear from Matt. And it does sound like a whole lot more guys are already in town than even compared to a year ago.
Well, and part of that is obviously the Flames Foundation Golf Tournament tomorrow. You know, that is an event they all try to or are all asked to be here for. And it happens to be a little earlier before training camp than it sometimes is. I think what you're going to hear become a bit of a rallying cry for this Flames team is guys who want to be here. It was such a topic last year, the players who ultimately said no to contract extensions. I think you're going to see and hear out of the locker room a lot talk about guys who want to be in Calgary. And I think what Matt Coronato is saying in terms of the excitement level, the number of guys who are back already, I think that's going to sort of play into what I expect to become a narrative that surrounds this team.
So
let me throw one more thing out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Too. I know there's been some social media consternation about the fact that Jacob Pelche.
Well, you know, before you go any further, let me read this text from our buddy Dylan in Revelstoke. Question: what on earth is Pelche holding out for? He's proven he's got a great attitude and pretty much nothing else. What am I missing? That's Dylan excited for the season. First of all, he's not holding out yet. You are not officially a holdout until training camp is underway. So he is not a holdout as of yet. Just a couple of people I've spoken to. There really isn't a lot of worry on either side right now that this isn't going to get done. I think there's some wrangling about, from what I understand, we're probably talking about some wrangling about a one-way or a two-way, how a one-way might look if that's going to happen. Is it just, do you do a one-year two-way contract and bam, get it done like that? Or do you do something more incentive-laden where it's a two- or a three-year deal, similar to Dustin Wolf, who's got a one-way in the second year, two-way in the first year? Is it more like something like that? And I wonder if that's maybe where the middle ground is going to be found. I don't think the Flames are necessarily ready to bow down and be like, oh, you know what? Here's a one-year, one-way, and we'll reconvene in a year. I think if it's going to be a short-term deal, the Flames are probably pushing for a two-way, and maybe that changes between now and when a deal gets signed. But I guess it is interesting that it hasn't been signed yet, but indications that I've gotten is that there's not really any worry on either side that something won't get done.
Yeah.
And as you've brought up even a few times this summer, when there's a deadline, things get done a little quicker, and that deadline is coming up here in about, you know, a little more than a week's time.
And that's what I was just going to say. Contracts get done on deadlines. Obviously, you know, they're dug in a little on some minor details on this one. I think it's important to point out there's not a lot of business getting done at the Saddle Dome the past 10 days or so as the leadership goes through the same grieving that we've been talking over and over. You know, Craig Conroy had been close with Johnny Gaudreau since the Flames drafted him. Yep. And so, I don't think this has been sort of top of the to-do list because of the time they still had to work with. The one thing I'll say, and the Flames, we're talking about Pelche, but the Flames have three RFAs remaining. Cole Schwind, Ilya Solovyov, Jacob Pelche.
And all three of those guys enter training camp, you know, probably feeling like they've got an opportunity to do something.
Yeah.
And and it is in all of their best interest to not miss a single second of camp.
And probably feeling like they'd like to give themselves a little bit of, you know, insurance if the team does send them to the minors, that they're going to make some decent money down there, right? I think one of the sticking points is probably going to be, if I am in the AHL, you know, what sort of loot am I collecting at that level? And so I would just say, until the day that the team reports for training camp, just don't sweat it. I know, again, there's some grumbling on social media and some, you know, trade this guy because he's not signed yet. Just cool your jets. There's been a lot going on, and I fully expect that when the Calgary Flames walk out of the tunnel at the Saddle Dome for their first camp session, all those guys are going
to
be there.
And the word of advice I would pass on to these players, like, and I think that the two examples I'll give are one applies to one and the other applies to two. But like Andrew Mangiapane on that, was that his second contract? Yeah, mm-hmm. Because essentially Treat is just like, hey, here's your QO.
Yeah.
Tell us when you want to sign it.
Yeah.
Because that became a little contentious.
And I know you had Rich Winner on the show with Eric the other day, the Eric Francis show. You know, Rich plays hardball too, and Tree basically just told him, hey, call me back.
Call me when you're ready.
Sign the QO.
Here's the deal.
You know where to find me.
Yep. And Mange missed, 85% of training camp that year, and it took him a little while to get up to speed. So that, and then the other one is Oliver Shillington a few years ago, where again, waited late until he signed, and because he waited so late, then there was some visa immigration issues coming over from Sweden, delayed him a little bit more, and it really kind of sewered his season, and it wasn't until the following year that he had his breakout year, and I think he learned a lot from that experience. So if you're Jacob Pelche, if you're Cole Schwint, if you're Ilya Solovyov, and you feel like there is an opportunity in front of you to make an NHL team out of training camp, don't miss training camp. Yeah. Don't miss a session. Be there and ready to go and in shape. And you know what? If that means you do have to make a small concession, if that means you do have to take a two-way in year one and a one-way in year two, so be it. You're going to do yourself so many favors in the long run by not missing a second of training camp.
You know, I took a two-way to join Flames Talk, and you only get so many chances to capitalize on your talent.
You got a little ways to go before we give you the one way. Shan is the arbiter, he plays hardball.
Don't worry about the contracts. I will be absolutely gobsmacked if any of those three guys aren't signed by the first day of camp.
Dylan asks again, what's going on with Solo? I think probably very similar things. Just, you know, what's the AHL money going to look like?
They're all going to be at the golf tournament tomorrow. I'm assuming, I haven't been to the captain's skate, but I assume that means that if not already by Wednesday, you're going to see them on the ice with their teammates. And Solovyov's been around town all summer, right? He and his, I believe, wife, his better half anyways, welcomed a child here. He's represented the organization at some fundraising functions. And so just don't sweat it. Hey, this is Wes here to tell you it's all going to be okay.
This says Wes is wrong. Zeri always was a better skater than Coronado. This says Huberto, Zeri, and Coronado. That's ozone face-off every time and almost a guaranteed minus line. I just like the idea of coming up with, because you do have the luxury of having two very gifted two-way centers that are, like, they've got long histories of playing tough, shutdown head-to-head minutes in Kadri and Backlund. When you have two guys like that, that's a luxury that you can now let another line maybe have a quicker trip to the buffet, right? Like, you just a little bit of an easier time. And with Huberto's struggles in 2 years in Calgary, with Zeri potentially cutting his teeth, trying to be a full-time NHL center, and in Matt Coronado's second year where you're looking to maybe see a step forward in his offense, I just think there's some potential wisdom in going down a road like that.
I personally hope the blender is out for most of training camp.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's see some different things.
I think I'll be even, like, we'll go to training camp, and a week from Thursday, we'll be sitting at the Dome, or Vix and I will be sitting at the Dome, whatever the case may be, and we'll be talking about day one line.
Not even invited to the Dome now?
Well, yeah, you're on a two-way. Like, we'll see. We'll see where things go.
I know I'm not on the travel team. You know, you and Vixie, fresh back from the draft. I'm surprised you even came back.
I am too.
I do remember sort of quarterbacking Flames Talk by myself on Canada Day, and then so now the travel team's off
guy,
to Penticton.
I said on three people.
I don't
and
now
know. He's a
I don't know if you guys have a wine tour booked or what your plan is for Penticton, but I do hope to. Well, that's not true, but anyway,
my point is, whoever is hosting Flames Talk that day,
yeah,
we'll be like, oh, did you, what do we think of day one Flames line combinations at training camp? And then, you know what, they'll be that way on Friday, and they'll be completely different on Saturday,
yeah,
and then I think the first preseason game is Sunday, and they'll be completely different for that game as well. I think more so than ever, or less so than ever, will I be buying into lines that we see early in camp, and more so than ever, I'll be excited to see that that blender put into action.
Yeah. Yeah, and some of the fun you're going to see is, you know, you're going to see some of the kids put with veterans, whether that's Zane Parekh or Hunter Brustevich with one of the big boys on the blue line for a practice just to learn something, whether that's Sam Honzek in what you'd consider a top six or top nine role. Like, let get that blender going and let's have some fun.
Steinberg and West this hour on Flames Talk, and from the Golden Arches comes the Big Arch, the biggest bite on the menu, now available at participating McDonald's restaurants. 2 quarter-pound, 100% Canadian beef patties with no artificial preservatives or flavors, sourced from Canadian ranches and farms. The Big Arch is perfectly layered with 3 slices of white processed cheese, crispy onions, pickles, lettuce, slivered onions, and a new tangy, delicious Big Arch sauce. It's more McDonald's to love. Try the Big Arch today.
Flamestock is on the air and streaming on the Sportsnet mobile app. Sportsnet 960 The Fan, Calgary.
Monday edition of the program continues. It's Steinberg and West along with you. Thanks for being along with us. Tuesday morning at 2 different golf courses, as per usual. It's the annual Calgary Flames golf tournament to kick off the season. I'm heading up to Country Hills. Where are you going? Where will you be on Tuesday?
Yeah,
morning?
I like to keep people on their toes, but I'm sort of leaning Cottonwood.
Okay.
Yeah.
Country Hills and Cottonwood, the two golf locations, because there's the 2 courses up at Country Hills, a little bit more room to take on a larger group. But the players and the celebrities will be spread out over both golf courses. And the reason we bring this up is because that morning around 8:30, whatever it is, right before they all go out, hit the carts and go out to their respective starting holes, a lot of the times, last year was the first time we had heard from Elias Lindholm, Nikita Zadorov, Noah Hanifin, Chris Tanev, yeah. Those 4 guys about their futures.
It was pretty newsworthy last year,
wasn't
it?
That was I think Jacob Markstrom came out and talked a little bit about his future. Mm-hmm. Craig Conroy, that was his first time really head-on addressing Calgary media about the futures of these pending unrestricted free agents.
I remember a very cagey Elias Lindholm.
Oh, my goodness.
Ago.
Okay, He gave me, I remember vividly, he gave me just a one-word answer on something. Wasn't even a yes or no. I gave him like the open-ended question. He one-worded it.
Yeah.
Cagey was guarded. Like, he had no interest in talking about it. I think that he was, there was some tension there, mm-hmm. between the two sides, and it was palatable from Elias Lindholm that day. We're not going to get that here. Honestly, I think who will be the guys that we're talking or asking questions about their future? Probably, I know why you're going to Cottonwood. That's where Rasmus Anderson is. That's why you're going to Cottonwood.
Well, and to be perfectly honest,
maybe I'll follow you.
I don't think that tomorrow is necessarily the day that you're going to get a whole ton of questions about the future. I do think that the memorial today for Johnny and Matthew Gaudreau, especially for those like Rasmus Anderson who were in attendance, will be more of a topic of conversation. And for that reason, you know, the golf tournament has always been sort of some insight into season storylines, I think. You get your first real gauge of the sort of collective mood of the group. You get to talk to some of those guys who are going to be the big storylines. And yes, if this was 2 weeks ago, I would have told you Rasmus Anderson's future might be among the hot topics. I just don't know.
That's fair.
Given the circumstances, if that's the case.
If it's appropriate, if it's the time.
So if you're asking me if I'm driving to Cottonwood to ask Rasmus Anderson if he wants to be part of it, that's not the case.
Yep. I am curious. I think one of the things that I think we'll be hearing is, I do think, remember last week we played that clip from Elliot Friedman about the future of the vets. I think that it's
right.
I think that's going to be one of the messages is just, hey, we want to see what we've got. We need, one of the things I think is going to be really important and one of the season long messages is, yeah, you know what? They may trade an Anthony Mantha or they may trade an Andre Kuzmenko. And if somebody comes to them with a knock-your-socks offer for Nazem Kadri, then Craig Conroy is going to entertain that and maybe pull the trigger on that deal. But what I think is going to be one of the season-long storylines and messages from Flames coaching staff and management is the importance of having good veterans and having bought-in veterans. And I think that that's the message that he's also going to be relaying to the players. I think Nazem Kadri and Jonathan Huberdeau and Mackenzie Weegar and Blake Coleman and Rasmus Anderson and, of course, Captain Michael Backlund. I think the message to them is going to be, we need you. We need you to be good veterans, and we need you to help show the future, these young players, what it's like to be an NHLer, what it's like to be a good pro. And we want you to be the standard centers. We want you to be the bus drivers. And so in knowing that, I think that it's going to be an attempt to kind of empower and try to get a little bit of investment out of guys and really take ownership of putting this team on track and getting them from point A to point B in a quicker fashion than maybe a lot of people on the outside might think. So I really do think that's going to be one of the, especially early season, one of the messages we hear, the importance of having good veterans.
Yeah,
kind of feels like that might be something we hear from Connie on Tuesday morning.
Well, and I just think back to how many times in Ryan Huska's first season as head coach, we heard him reference a summer conversation, right? How many times did we hear him talk about his summer conversations with Jacob Markstrom and what that told him about, you know, where his number one goalie was in terms of his preparation and motivation for the upcoming season? How many times did we hear him talk about, I remember chatting with him a year ago after he'd made a trip to Montreal to meet with Jonathan Huberdeau. And so
that's right.
Not only are you bang on with what is going to be a narrative surrounding this Flames team and the importance of veterans to really set the right culture and the right tone through this process, but I guarantee you Ryan Huska has had that conversation. I know that didn't Michael Backlund have like a 2-hour meeting with Huska and Conroy after they didn't do the regular exit meeting with Michael Backlund. They had like an hours long sit down with the captain at the end of last season. You know, he's heard that message. You know, it's been passed on to Blake Coleman. You know, it's been passed on to Mackenzie Weegar, who's not going to be at the golf tournament tomorrow because he's at the NHL media tour in Las Vegas.
Nazem Kadri was the representative for the Flames at that last year.
Right. Yes. You know, it's been passed on to Kadri. You know, it's been passed on to Rasmus Anderson. You know, the importance of that is one of the reasons that they went and signed Ryan Lomberg fresh off a Stanley Cup run with the Florida Panthers. And so, yeah, absolutely. That's going to be a narrative, and it's not going to be a surprise to those guys because they've already talked about
it. They'll be prepped for it, for sure. Tuesday's Flames Talk will be, for the first time this season, from the Scotiabank Saddledome.
Yeah.
Looking forward to being down there. I better go early.
You know,
to make sure everything's working properly.
I thought it was a ton of fun to be part of the post-golf tournament Flames Talk last year. Lots of great guests. Get to check in with a few of the players, and so I expect tomorrow to be a good one.
Yep. See if we can get three or four gents wrangled into the Hot Stove Lounge. Of course, the Dome is where everybody will go for the post-golf festivities after their rounds are done at Country Hills and Cottonwood. Also, Frank Saravalli on Tuesday's program as well. That'll wrap us up, though, on a Monday edition of Flames Talk. Thanks for hanging out with us. Wes Gilbertson is on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. Thanks to Shan and Cam and Carson, our producers this hour. And this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo Smart Lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com.
This is Flames Talk.
We got some Jays baseball coming your way around the corner. So it is Jays and Mets from Rogers Center just after the top of the hour. So we'll take you out to Toronto when we come back. Flames Talk starts at 3:00 tomorrow. We'll see. Maybe we'll be done at 5:00. Maybe it'll go a little bit later. Might join the Jays in progress, just depending on how the live guest situation works tomorrow. But join us for Flames Talk from 3 to 5 tomorrow as well from the Scotiabank Saddledome. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your Monday. Rest easy to John and Matthew Gaudreau. They were laid to rest just outside of Pennsylvania on this Monday. For Wes Gilbertson, for Cam Hughes, for Shan Vergy, for intern Carson, my name is Pat Steinberg. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Flames Talk. Have a great Tuesday. Enjoy the Jays game on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.